Okay, welcome to the study portion of our sacrament meeting this morning, being Sunday, the 30th day of May, 2021. We are studying in the sealed book, nearly finished with the sealed book of Moses within that book. We're on chapter 17. And last week we finished up through verse 15. And that's on page 127 if you have this hard copy, but on the PDF file, it's a different number. So chapter 17, verse 15. And today we'll do something just a little different than usual. This is where Moses goes up on the mountain. And we're going to read the parallel account along with it in the LDS Book of Doctrine and Covenants. And on each verse, at least for a while, I'll be reading that. I'll read that, and then one of you will read the verse. I'm going to read the one in the sealed in the Pearl of Great Price first, the revelation to Joseph Smith, and then the one in the sealed book. So in your mind, you can compare the two and see the differences. And as I prepared this today, one of the differences I noticed right off when we started last week, it said he was on a vision on the high mountain in the clouds. And I said that might have been maybe in a different, Kevin said it might be a different dimension. And I said it might even be in heaven, because there's a real place in heaven. But in this version, in the book of Moses, it specifically says he was just on a high mountain that is high enough to be up in the clouds. And so we'll compare. So we're going to start. It starts on in Moses chapter 1, verse 27. And I believe I'll read the ones from the book of Moses so that you don't all have to have both. And then I'll ask someone else, and let's start with Steve Woodby. After I read it, would Steve, if you would read verse 16, and there we'll compare. I'm going to read both 27 and 28 in the book of Moses. So Moses 1. Verses 27 and 28. And it came to pass, as the voice was still speaking, Moses cast his eyes and beheld the earth, even all of it. And there was not a particle of it which he did not behold, discerning it by the Spirit of God. And he beheld also the inhabitants thereof, and there was not a soul which he beheld not. And he discerned them by the Spirit of God. And their numbers were great, even numberless as the sand upon the seashore. Okay, Steve. Oh, and Steve, if you would maybe hold your book up. We decided if you look up.
He can talk better.
You got it fixed? Okay. Whatever works. Well, hopefully we can hear you. Go ahead. Verse 16.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, oh, perfect. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. And it came to pass, while the voice still spoke, I looked and saw the earth. Yea, all of it. And there was not a particle of it which I saw not, discerning it by the Spirit of God. And I have also seen inhabitants, and there was not a single soul that I had not seen. And his number was great, even as countless as the sands of the shore.
Okay, comments, please.
I don't see much difference. It seems about the same to me.
Okay, I agree. What one reason, not that it matters that I agree, I shouldn't say that. I noticed that mine was quite a bit longer. Mine was two verses. So this is a case where somebody could say, aha, Mauricio just took what was already in this book and just took a couple of things out and made it sound the same and acts like it's a new Revelation. But in the next few verses, we're going to find out there's a lot more in the sealed book than in the other. That's one reason to compare them. But yes, very similar.
Discerning by the Spirit of God explains how he was able to see all that.
Yes. Yes, he saw every soul, every person. And the real meaning of soul, the Old Testament meaning of soul, is a person, the whole, the body, the spirit, the whole, everything. And in the New Testament, soul tends to mean what people think is a spirit that's part of the invisible part of you. Different language, Greek versus Hebrew, confusions. But Old Testament soul usually means everybody. I mean, people. In other words, so by the Spirit of God, he was able to see countless of sands on the seashore. Okay, I think I'll go. Any other comments before we go on? I think we can. All right, let's do that. I'm going to read verse 27 here, and then we'll ask Harm if he would read verse 17. So verse 27 in Moses says this. Whoops, do I mean 27? No, I mean 29. And he beheld many lands, and each land was called earth, and there were inhabitants on the face thereof. Okay.
And I saw many lands, and each was called the world. And there were inhabitants on its surface. And then I understood who were the righteous spirits who had been perfected in the heavens. And I was able to understand who were those ancient spirits who made up the church of the firstborn. And I could understand who are the high priests, who were ordained by God before the foundation of the world of mankind. And because they had been endowed with knowledge since they are born. This okay. is interesting.
Comments.
It's interesting with the worlds. Each was called Earth and the world. And the multiple times understand. It really, I really feel it lately a lot that we have to understand and that we were there. So that's what comes out for me. I understand.
Thank you. Oh, I see Dan and Valera are joining us. Go ahead, Lisa.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I thought it was very interesting. It says, who are the righteous spirits who had been perfected in the heavens? Mm-hmm. So these spirits weren't necessarily perfected on earth. They were perfected in heaven. I don't know. That was interesting to me.
Yes.
There's still some feedback from your microphone.
I think, yeah, Valkia. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
That's a good observation/question. Because, see, in translating, different languages put phrases in different places. This might have said, and I saw the righteous spirits in the heavens who had been perfected. And that sounds like they were maybe perfected on earth and then in heaven. The way it is, okay. It sounds like it might be perfected in the heavens. So to me, it's not clear because most
I
of
wonder
the,
how it is in the Portuguese version. I wonder if it's more clear in that version.
But well, that's a good question. And I've got to read this all again side by side in Portuguese. And then I could answer that. But okay, I'll tell you this, but they have the same problem too. Their order doesn't always, there's problems with languages, and that's why we need to read by the Spirit. If I had to guess, I would guess that the perfection is mostly done on earth, but I don't know. That's why we're studying this.
Well, if you take kind of the whole thing at first as a general and then break it down, I'm getting that these were the spirits that were picked out from the Church of the Firstborn. They were there before, even maybe before Earth was created. They're the ancient spirits, and they have all this knowledge because they were from the Church of the Firstborn. They already have the knowledge, they didn't have to be taught it.
Right, they come.
And so that means they were perfected before they came. They were perfected in heaven before they came down and did their earthly
ministry. Right, I think either way, before they're on earth this time, they've already been perfected somewhere. And I think Lisa's question was, well, where did that final perfection happen? Was it in heaven or was it on earth before? And we don't care about that. You're saying let's not worry about that detail as much as this all of this. What I read was only the first sentence in the book of Moses. It just has the one sentence. I saw the earth, they were all called, I saw many lands, they were all called earth or inhabitants, period. And the next three or four verses in this, well, the next one verse after this, all of that is not in the book of Moses at all. And it's all about the secret stuff about these are people perfected in heaven, the ancient spirits, they come down, doesn't say the 144,000 high priests, but I believe that's what it's referring to. And this is all the part that's in the sealed book. So even though Joseph Smith was given part of this information to publish in the first invitation, we are definitely getting more now in the second invitation about just what's going on.
May I comment? I think that endowed with knowledge, since they are born at the end, I think this must be something too. We need to understand to become one.
Yes. This is where the words come from the mouths of babes. When I was just 1.5 years old, just barely able to talk, my mother asked me a question. And I looked away like I was looking at something. And I don't know if she said I closed my eyes. And then she knew I wasn't ignoring her. She didn't know if I was thinking. And so she said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm waiting for Heavenly Father to turn on the light so I can see the answer. And she said, okay. And she wrote that in her journal, and I have that journal. And so I knew somehow, I mean, that's isn't that interesting? So some little children know that they can be taught directly by God. And instead of just making up an answer for themselves, they can wait for God to turn on the light so they can see it. I mean, anyway, other comments on this verse, please.
Yeah, I always find it interesting that we have been waiting to get to Earth. You know, what have we've been doing all this time with our time in the spirit world? Yeah, maybe that's also why we're now discovering all this age.
Yes, thank you.
And also, it says in verse 17, and I saw many lands, and each was called the world. And in Moses, in the Pearl of Great Price, it doesn't say the. I don't know if that's far important or not.
I don't think that's as important, but and the words in English, people use the word world and earth almost interchangeably, but they should not be, they're different. The many lands are called earth. That actually makes more sense in English because everybody says, yeah, where are you? I'm on the earth. I'll tell you since you ask, English question. If the names of the planets, Mars, Mercury, if you just say the name, it's always capitalized. Mars, Venus are capitalized. If you just say, if you refer to sun or earth without the word the, it should be capitalized. And if you say the earth, which is more common, it's not capitalized. So people are on the land and they say, where are you? Well, I'm on earth or I'm on the earth. It's the same. But they also refer to the world. The world really is more the people. But it can be, the world is also, it can mean the earth. So they're very similar translations. That probably didn't help you very much, but. Okay, let's read the next, the verse 18 kind of goes with it. Maybe Baukia, could you read verse 18, which is also not at all in the book of Moses?
These have been anointed with the knowledge of all things from the beginning, not needing anyone to teach him something about the kingdom of God, but being from infants endowed with such divine attributes, they feel the desire to serve God and see him the knowledge for how much to these will be shown the way to which they must walk before God.
Okay. Comments, please.
It's interesting also with your latest article, John, with the kingdom of God, to know and to serve, that you will have a natural, if you are elect, that you will have these urges to serve him no matter what. And I think this is probably we need to fully accomplish our divine potential. It's very interesting that we have to know, that we have to have to see from him the knowledge and the way we should walk. Because otherwise that's maybe the whole thing. You cannot earn it. I think that's the pride of actual maybe the bright people, that you wouldn't need God. You know, you would see his arm unveiled. That you have the desire because you can't do otherwise, because it's not created. It resonates the intelligence, the glory of God. Mm-hmm. But that's some thoughts, you know.
No, thank you. That's excellent. And as you speak, I'm reminded that many of these prophets were born into very adverse circumstances. Abraham's father was an idolater. He's worshiping little idols. And Abraham's, it's in the book of Jasher, describes it better, but he's saying, wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense. These are little wooden carvings that Floyd made down the street and you bought. And now you're telling me that he created the earth. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's a free translation from the book of Jasher. So he's able to think and he's able to know. And he's saying, that can't be God. This guy, the little wooden statue there did not create the earth. I'm sorry, that did not happen. And so he's able to know, and many of the prophets are this way. They grew up in a situation where they were really tested because, well, we're all in a world where Satan is now in charge and teaching all kinds of crazy things. Look at what everything was taught with COVID and all the foolish, stupid, contradictory instructions were given. And people try to wear the mask. Okay, then I won't wear the mask. And, you know, and it's no worse than the flu. They show the numbers of deaths. It's the same as the regular flu. The bad guys didn't even have to lie. They could tell the truth and say this many people died. When you say, well, the year before, that's how many people died of the regular flu. What? Why are we all terrified? Anyway, people can know for themselves and think for themselves, and they come with knowledge built in a lot of ways. Go ahead, somebody else.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Russell.
Jeannie. Okay, I was just going to ask, is that my understanding that these footnotes in the verses were also given to Mauricio as he was translating?
I believe
so. When it refers to 1 John 2, 24 to 27, he didn't look those up. They were actually given to him.
You know, that's I'll verify that. I know that's true sometimes. I'm not sure it's true all the time. And I'll tell you why not. Go ahead.
Let me just go ahead and read it, 1 John, and then you can make your comment.
Okay, please.
So 1 John 2, 24 through 27, is it? Yeah. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And that is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him.
Oh, boy, perfect. So it doesn't matter where that came from. That's a great footnote.
Yeah, really.
But check, you know, and see if you find out.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. All of this is brought to mind. We're reading and thinking of this on an adult level. And everything that's happened in the last year, and remembering that God knew all this was going to happen, this has affected, it's worldwide COVID stuff, has affected our little children. They haven't gone to daycare. They haven't gone to school. We have many children going to school for the first time that's never been in school before. They didn't do kindergarten, and age-wise, they're ready to do first grade. I mean, these kids are basically being raised in a world of confusion, of, like John said, of not even getting the truth. And like Harm said, if we don't go back to what we were taught from the beginning, we don't have anything to hang on to. So think of these little children coming up. They are going to continue what we're teaching them, what we hope. Someone said that that maybe our generation won't be the ones that see the fulfillment of the church, but it'll be our children's children. So my grandchild is like 4 and 10. It's different for them. They have to have the knowledge from heaven to fight Satan. If they only had the knowledge that they're being taught right now, how could they fight Satan? Because they're not being taught how to fight Satan. And I think maybe that has something to do with how they're being referred to, that each and every one of us, and especially we need to recognize that our children are fighting this battle, that we have the knowledge from God, but our children are going to be inundated with this fight against Satan. It's like, if they're not really strong with this knowledge from God, they almost don't have a chance against what Satan is doing.
And that's why we're being taught that it's so important for us to write the pamphlets and teach these and put this online and spread this word as best we can to counteract, to at least give people a choice between truth and falsehood. And welcome, Posey. We see Valera joined us a while ago, and as we see Posey's here, so that's great. We are in, we are on,
in here. We're on the road driving.
Oh. All righty. We're going to about read verse 19 now of chapter 17 of Sealed Moses. So 17, verse 19. And this is a vision he's had and where he saw the whole world and what's going on. And are there any other comments on 18 before?
Say hi, John.
We've seen. Go ahead.
I was just going to say we're driving on the road, but Dan is that I'm actually driving and Dan's got the sealed book open. So
oh,
he can read if you need him to read.
All right. he'll be coming anyway. Up. We'll put him in the queue.
Okay,
here.
Great.
Awesome.
Okay, cool. Okay, we're.
This is good.
Love it.
Church without walls and on the roads. Okay. We are now going to read. And what I'm doing, this is parallel to what is in the book of, in the LDS book of Moses. And it's in the RLDS, it turns out, Doctrine and Covenant somewhere. But the revelation of this kind of very vision, a different view of it, perspective on it, account of it is what I want to say. And so I'm going to read first verse Moses chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. And then we'll have Lisa, if she would, read verse 19. So here is Moses 1, 30 and 31. And then we can compare the two. Moses 1, 30 and 31. And it came to pass that Moses called upon God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, why these things are so, and by what thou madest them. And behold, the glory of God was upon Moses, so that Moses stood in his presence, in the presence of God, and talked with him face to face. And the Lord God said unto Moses, for mine own purpose have I made these things. Here is wisdom, and it remaineth in me. Okay, Lisa, go ahead and read verse 19, please.
All right, and it came to pass that I cried unto God, saying, tell me, I beseech thee, why are these things so, and by what manner have you done them? And the Lord God said to me, Moses, I have done these things for my own purpose. Here is wisdom, and abideth in me. It also continues in you, and through you, and through those whom I call, for how much I call no man, unless they get elected. For not even mine only begotten was chosen by me, but this one, being with me from the beginning, acting as master of works of all creation, elected himself, saying, Father, here am I, send me.
Okay, comments, please.
That's powerful to think. That Christ, I mean, that he wasn't chosen, that he had chose himself. I guess it says something about ourselves too. Are we stepping up?
Amen. That's huge, isn't it? And that's, you know, that's what it says in the book of Abraham and other places. We've seen this many times. That God says, whom shall I send? And two different people, it turns out, stood up and said, here am I, send me. But he didn't just call on someone.
John?
Yes.
Let me ask you, if I'm not recalling wrong, but the word elected can be transposed or swapped out with volunteered. I think we had that explained somewhere in the scripture.
Yes, and see, in this meaning, he volunteered himself, yes. Elected can mean chose. So in a way, he chose himself. The word mine elect and my chosen are pretty much interchangeable in scriptures. And this is saying, I would agree, if somebody chooses themselves, that's, we have a word for that, volunteer. So I would say that. But see, not languages have all these different words. There's a lot of words that in one language, they don't think it's important to have a word for that. And in another language, they do. So I'm not sure I know. I don't know if I've ever seen the word volunteer in the Bible anywhere that I can think of right off. Amen. I tend to agree with you. That's what I'm trying to say. Any other comments on that or anything else here? There's quite a bit here. Well, I know I've said this before, but I think I did this because I read the book and liked it. And when I met Ed and Jeannie and they, I mean, I knew them, but when they got the book and believed it, I wrote to Mauricio and said, hey, I found a missionary partner here in Utah. Here am I, here are we, send us, you know, if you'd like missionaries up here, we can volunteer. We don't need any money to be supported. We're both retired. And well, look what happened. We got more than missionaries. You know, we have a branch now and I'm in the presidency. So I guess be careful what you volunteer for. I know I said that before also. But yes, we're supposed to volunteer. Jeannie's volunteering to write all kinds of cards and brochures and anyway, all of us.
I know volunteering. I know that. Well, I didn't volunteer really.
Well, you just did it.
I just felt from within.
Yeah.
And so it's not just okay, I volunteer to go. I think it's from within.
You felt you were called, kind of. Or what you say?
Something. I don't feel like I'm good enough to say I was called, but I feel from within myself, I was asked to do something I was capable to do, and I could choose to do it or not do it.
That's the same thing. I'm thinking, yeah.
I had the same thing.
I felt with Bowser, with the first time she was with me, she wanted to sing the hymns, and then I felt that she could. Love the work, you know, I love the master of works of all creation, you know, elected himself. I think it has to do with you really love the creative stuff that is good, that it's the best thing to want to do, you know, that you feel the love, you feel the light, and you want to be involved.
Yeah.
And you want to help a simple way. My son John, those were his words. He said, you know, I want to help. And that's what I wanted. That's why it's not that I thought I was so good or anything. It's like nobody up here believes it in Utah. Nobody, like Russell did. Russell was the one that got me started. So Russell and I. Russell got me started. And then I realized that almost no one else that I knew in Utah was believing this. And I wanted to help. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Other comments.
But it's also because people don't know about it.
Yeah, that's how I can help. I've got a website.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why I volunteered to go on this show next week. This week. All righty. Any other comments on this verse before? Let's see, we just had Lisa read, so we're going to have Russell next. Any other comments? Let's see, I think there's more in that. Let's see.
The wisdom part.
Here is wisdom. Oh, the thing is this. You have to read this. It's just going to be more clear in the Moses version, in the Pearl of Great Price version, because he's having this vision of all of these worlds and of what's going on. And he says, tell me why these things are so. When, you know, he's looking at the stars and everything and tell me all about them. And the Lord says, it's for my own purpose. Here's wisdom and it abideth in me. In other words, no, I know the answer, but I'm not going to tell you. And later on down here, well, see, that it's the same, it continues on in 21. We'll get to that. But when we get to it, basically the Lord says, God says, look, I'm going to tell you about this earth, not all of the other earths. I'm just going to tell you about this earth. I want you to write it down. And we're going to call it the book of Genesis. But basically, I'm not going to tell you about all the other ones because you couldn't begin to hand, well, for whatever reason. Anyway, so I think that's what the remaineth in me part is. I've done this.
John.
Yes.
You should let me read next because by 10 after 11, I have to leave.
Okay. And so why don't you go ahead? You read verse 20 first, and then I'll read the equivalent in Moses, and we'll go from there.
And by the word of my power, I have created all things, word which proceeds from me, the great Jehovah and judge of all the earth, that since the days of Adam is pronounced, Almighty God, whose name is personified by election in the only begotten Son, this Jehovah being the advocate with the Father, who from time immemorial is pronounced Mighty God, who is full of grace and truth.
Okay. And in English, it's called Almighty God. That is what we're used to hearing in English more. Okay, I'm going to read the verse 32 in Moses to compare to that. And I'm so glad you're with us when you are, Russell. Thanks so much for coming. And by the word of my power have I created them, which is mine only begotten, who is full of grace and truth. And
you left off a word. Which is my only begotten Son, who is full of grace and truth.
Right, let's comment on that. But before we go on, I'm going to read the other verses that are not, they're in the book of Moses, but they're not in the sealed book. But first of all, comments on verse 20. Please.
Well, I just say that the verse 20 talks a lot about the name of God and so forth, which I don't think we fully understand what it's telling us there.
Amen. Not only that,
Almighty God.
Go ahead.
I've always thought with Abraham, it starts that he's called Almighty God. So you have stages in how he lets us know his name. So it has to do with being the stages of what we are supposed to know. But I think it's interesting what it says. By the word and words that the word is the Son, and that's a different because here at 20 it says word of my power I have created in all things, word which proceeds from me, the great Jehovah. But why not be clear right away from the start? So there has to be purpose in not knowing the whole thing from the beginning.
Right.
So that we would love it more, you know, when it comes, that we would reverence it more.
See, in the book of John, it talks about in the beginning was the Word, and then it says, and the Word was God. And so we often think, we take that literally, that the Word is God, but here we're told more. It really means the word. The way when you get into Tibetan and manifesting things, the way it's done is there's thoughts and there's words, and the words can make things appear. And so the word of my power, by that, by the, I guess I believe it means just what it says. By the word of my power, I have created all things. And then he says, from me, Jehovah. And then he talks about the Father. He is trying to tell us something here, and it's not totally clear. And I agree, we need to study and pray and ponder this, because I'm seeing now that Almighty God, I'll tell you one thing I'm hearing. Almighty God, that means the might is power. Might has to do with spiritual power. Jesus said there's heart, might, mind, and strength. Strength is physical power. Mind is mental power. Heart is emotional power. So what is heart, might, mind, and strength? In some translations, in the they'll say a soul for that word, the soul. But there is a word, might. And I'll just tell you, this is my personal understanding of the word might. When you see the karate expert break the bricks, that is not strength. That is might. It's a spiritual strength. It's, they would say it's the chi. It's the aura. The might has to do with spiritual strength and chi. And so the word of my power, so I'm saying the Almighty God is really talking about the God who has the word of his power that can say things, which is the spirit, the chi, and it moves the elements and things are created. And it's referring, I guess it's my long way to say, I believe it's saying that Almighty God is the same as Jehovah, which is not the same as the Father, because he mentions the Father separately.
May I ask a question? Could it have to do with that this knowledge about might and spiritual battle actually for this time we need this charge in a way, and that it was called in the law of Moses, I am, that it had to be with like a difference of presence, that they should reverence their presence. Is first, because before they would get the power of the word of the names to be able to get his kingdom started. You know what I mean with the difference of I am, that it is right. Less moving, and might is maybe more spiritual power touch.
Something along those lines. I don't think we're going to get the full answer now, but there's something, I think we're all agreeing there's something very important going on here with these names. Okay. And we've been told that to understand the names, we have to have the feelings, etc. Valkia.
Yeah, there's also a, I don't know how you call it, a hyphen?
Oh yeah, dash.
Pronounced dash. Dash, yeah. So you were telling that then there is something missing, or is
yeah,
it
very
not?
Often. Oh, and there
this
was
is,
one.
This is not the long dash. This is a short dash.
Well, this is
yeah,
a short, yeah, I'm because
not sure,
yeah.
I'm not sure the printer always knows.
You look over at verse 23, there's a long dash.
Yeah, in 19 also, there's also a long dash.
You know that, and I know that, but I have seen it where the computer translator puts in a little short hyphen, which is not even a dash. I'm just saying, don't trust the printer to get them straight.
How about the new printer? Are they going to get straight with the new printing?
I have no idea. That would be nice. Let's go to Dan. Okay. Dan or Valera. I guess Valera's driving, she said. So Dan. Any other comments on 21? Any other comments before Dan reads verse? Oh, wait a minute, Dan. I'm going to read verse 35 first. I'm going to read that first, and then Dan read verse 21. So verse 35.
I'm going to leave. We'll see you.
Okay. Bye, bye, Russell.
Bye, Russell.
But only an account of this earth and the inhabitants thereof. Oh, I'm going to read all the parts that I skipped too. Which might be part of a long dash somewhere. By the word of my power, I've created them to my own begotten. And worlds without number have I created, and also I created them for mine own purpose. And by the Son I created them, which is mine only begotten. And the first man of all men have I called Adam, which is many. Now, verse 35. But only an account of this earth and the inhabitants thereof give I unto you. For behold, there are many worlds that have passed away by the word of my power, and there are many that now stand, and innumerable are they unto man. But all things are numbered unto me, for they are mine, and I know them. Okay, Dan, if you'd read for us verse 21, please.
Sure. And I have created countless worlds, and also created them my own purpose, and created them by the Son, who is my only begotten. And I called Adam the first man of all men, that is many. However, I'll tell you only of earth and its inhabitants. For behold, there are many worlds which by the word of my power have passed away. And as the word of mankind is passing now, but he that doeth my will, he standeth forever. And there are many who now stand and are innumerable for man to understand, but all things are understandable to me. For they are mine, and I know them in detail.
Okay, thanks so much. That's great. You can read on the card there. Okay, comments, please.
I've been thinking a lot on some of the things that were written in the lectures on faith. And I pulled these words out here in the sealed book. In verse 18, there was the word knowledge. In 19, there's the word wisdom. In 20, the word power and judge and grace and truth. And all of this has to do with, back in 18, it says how much of these, we will be shown the way that we must walk before God. And in the lectures on faith, and it's talking about how do we grow our faith, it begins with learning how God is so that we can always know that we can trust in him. And some of the attributes that they pull out are the power that God has and the knowledge that he has and how he's the same before, he's everlasting, which is what I think we're seeing a lot in verse 20 with all of the names that he's everlasting from the beginning to the end, that he's merciful, that he's a God of truth, he's a God of love. And that once we start to follow him in those paths, we become closer to him. And then we can learn what his power is. And all the different names, all of that's going to be given to us. And he talks about how he called Adam the first man of all men. And then he talks, then the sealed book talks about the other worlds that have gone away. And then mankind is passing now, but he that doeth my will stand forever. He that follows, so this is kind of the way I'm feeling. If we follow the faith and the learning and the knowledge that is there for us to get, that we are going to not be passed away. I believe that the celestial kingdom is there for us. That's eternal life. Whereas the others are different. You know, they're not going to have that eternal life. I think that all of these verses pulled together is trying to tell us all of that. And Adam, the lectures of faith also talk about how Adam was given the knowledge of God when he was placed on earth and in the Garden of Eden. And then after the fall, after we know that story, he did not lose that knowledge. Because you remember there's the part in the Bible where God came to the Garden of Eden, and then he's like, why are you running? Why are you hiding? And that is when Adam says, oh, we goofed. He still had that knowledge. He still knew who God was. And so when he was, when Adam and Eve were sent out of the Garden of Eden, he had the knowledge. And you have to think, how did that knowledge go forward? How did all of his ancestors from Adam on to Noah, we've learned how long everybody's lives were. So Adam died, I think, shortly before Noah was born. But yes, everyone knew the lineage. Noah, Adam to the next one, to everyone down, to Enoch, to Methuselah. All of them had that, they knew each other. Grandpa, grandma, I mean,
yeah, they,
son, uncle.
They were.
And that's how the knowledge of God was passed on to everybody. That's why the ancients had so much faith, because they knew in actuality.
Adam was still there to tell the story. It wasn't great grandpa dead.
Right. Right.
Trust us.
And then that was very, very important for the belief, for everybody to understand all of those attributes, that to gain that knowledge and to learn that wisdom and to know God was the same before. We don't have that now. We have just books. And this, as a scripture, is teaching us, I think, how all of that pulls together. And that's why he says, I know everyone in detail. He knows us, and we need to know him in detail to walk.
Thank you. You know, there's a LDS songwriter for children. I don't know if it's for children or not, but for parents, really. He wrote a song that's, how will our children know if we don't teach them so? Something like those words. And that's so true. We have to do the teaching, and it depends on the word being spread. And how important is it when I didn't used to understand how important it is when Satan would go around trying to burn books. But when they would notice how many times a conquering country, would burn all the books of the last civilization. And most of the books of Alexandria were burned. And before Alexander came in, he burned a lot of the old Egyptian. They couldn't burn the pyramids and things, so a lot of those stayed. But the Lamanites in the Book of Mormon were always trying to get the gold plates and destroy them. And when Joseph Smith had them, he had people breaking in to steal them. Mauricio had 5 times he had to move, as I understand it, because of people breaking into his apartment to trying to get the plates while he was translating them. So if people could, anyway, it's a, well, think how the Bible was suppressed, and the first people that just wanted to publish it in English instead of Latin were burned at the stake by the church. Anyway, amen.
Yeah.
It's really important to have the books and to study them. Oh, and one of the recent revelations to Mauricio says that the Lord has been so disappointed that after his prophet Joseph Smith gave his life and was martyred for the Book of Mormon, and look at all the people that were killed in the Lamanites trying to preserve the plates, and they finally get to us. And then people sit around and watch football games or whatever, even on the Sabbath, instead of studying the scriptures. The Lord just said he is so disappointed that lives were martyred to give us the scriptures, and nobody even studies them or cares about them, but very, very few people. And so, and even this sealed book, you would think that when Mormons would hear about it, they'd say, well, I'm at least going to read it to find out for myself. And you all know that your friends have not all beat your door down saying, please, please get me a copy so I can find out for myself. Okay, so yeah, we're all agreeing on that. Any other comments? And I think we still have a few Now I can see the clock here. Yeah, we still got 10 minutes. So other comments on this verse?
Well, you said it earlier, John. In the beginning was the Word, and I always loved, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So there's a difference. You know, when you want to know more, you know, that's the pioneering spirit we have to try to bring over to people. You know, this is great stuff. You know, to understand. But if you're not even taking the effort to read and to pray, you know, also the whole key of the praying, that you believe in a loving God who knows you better than you know yourself, and then ask in this holy name of Jesus Christ. I always try to tell people that it's easy in Greek, that it's the numeric value 888, but something, you know, to get them on their knees to know for themselves. But this is hard if you're not familiar with the scriptures, and people don't really love them. I read this book of this foreword of Hugh Nimley. He said of Avraham Gileadi, interesting writer. He said people don't read the scriptures. I was like, how can he say it? But he taught for years at Brigham Young. But it's true. We have to really love the scriptures, like what it says in Deuteronomy 11. You know, that you want to write it on the wall and on the doorpost and right. Inside and outside. It's all what's in the heart, that we have to be valiant in our testimony too. I understand it much better now with this second invitation, because we have to be excited. You know, that's why he says, Father, here am I, send me. It's almost like people don't accept also the whole thing of the gift. It's a gift.
Right.
But all these kids get too much gifts of rubbish. So they don't appreciate the real gift.
I'm reminded many times of Proverbs 25, verse 2, that says, it's the glory of God to hide a thing, but the honor of kings to find it out. And I was told that once for myself with my name there instead of kings, that God hides. And I've said before, it's like an Easter egg hunt. You know, Lisa, you've hid Easter eggs for your kids to go find, you know, and you hide all these, and I have, you hide all these Easter eggs. And then what if the kids came out and said, oh yeah, we don't like eggs. We want, you know, something else. And if they don't even go looking and you hit them all, and maybe some of them had a $10 bill in it, you know, they don't know what they're going to get. Anyway, I think it's very similar.
Back in verse 19, where it says, here is wisdom and abideth in me, also continues in you and through you. I think that's the knowledge beforehand. And those whom I call, for how much I call no man unless they get elected. So that still comes back to what we're all talking about, that through those that I call, for how much I call no man. That's kind of a contradictory, but I think he's put the knowledge out there. We have it, unless they get elected. So if we go back to some of the thoughts of, unless those people, like we've all said, understand it's a gift, understand that we have that love and we want to shout it from the rooftops, that's how we're called. God doesn't say, okay, I'm calling you. Well, he does kind of, because he places that inside of us, but he can't make us do anything if we didn't want to go hunt for the Easter eggs.
Right. No, amen. We all, I think, get frustrated that very few people are interested in seeking and finding things. And Russell is not with us right now, but if you notice, every time there's a reference or a something, where is that? He's right on the search engine and finds it. And very often it's in his own writings. By the way, his website is Salem Thoughts, isn't it? SalemThoughts.com. Yeah. And he's got a lot of articles there with a lot of information. Let's see, let's just read it. There's just a couple more verses that take us up to the rest of what's in. So let's just read a little more here. I'm going to read 1 verse 36. And then we'll ask, we're on to Jeannie. Jeannie, if you would read verse 22 in the sealed book.
Okay.
So I'll read 36. And it came to pass that Moses spake to the Lord, saying, be merciful unto thy servant, O God, and tell me concerning this earth and the inhabitants thereof, and also the sea, and also the heavens. Just tell me all about the earth and the heavens, that's all.
Yeah,
you know.
That'll take a while.
and thy servant will be content. So, I only get one wish, let's see. Tell me all about the earth and the heavens, and then I'll be content. I love that. So here's a man who wants to know more, okay? What do you have in yours? What you got?
Okay. And it came to pass that I, Moses, spake unto the Lord, saying, be merciful to thy servant, O God, and tell me concerning this earth and to the inhabitants and to the heavens, and then your servant will be satisfied. And behold, the Lord spake unto me, saying, the heavens are many and are innumerable for a man to comprehend in his fullness. Even as a land shall pass away, and her heaven shall be dissolved, so that another in her place shall arise. And there is no end to my word, my works, or my words.
Before we discuss that, I'll read verse 37. I was supposed to read two verses, which is the same as the second half. No, there's a couple of key word differences. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, at the heavens they are many, for they cannot be numbered unto man. But they are, I read that one. They're numbered unto me. No, I didn't read that one. Okay. And they are mine. Well, I'm going to read 38 also. And as one earth shall pass, now there's a big difference in that word. And as one earth shall pass away, and the heavens thereof, even so shall another come, and there is no end to my works, neither to my words. Okay, so they're very similar. So comments, please.
So from what I'm getting from these few verses is that there's like one earth at a time, maybe. And that one passes away and then a new one comes, and that one passes away and a new one comes. Is that kind of what your understanding is?
Except that it doesn't say one at a time. It says there's many of these earths, there's a lot going on, but as one passes away, another comes. So I'm visualizing many earths that are passing away and then others being reformed and
okay.
a continual process with many earths. That's just what I'm understanding.
Okay.
Other comments, what do you think, everybody, on any of it?
I was thinking maybe it has to do that we really love our own earth, you know, that you would like to know of other earths and how it's the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
But we need to learn to love the small thing and to serve and the whole thing of but Aaronic and Melchizedek priesthood. That it's both. We have to connect the heavens and the earth, and learn to love it. Maybe that I was thinking about that we may know of the earth, you know, but really learn to love the works of my words, as it says in 22. So the manifestation in our world here, what we could do here.
To put this in context, in the perspective, in the book of Moses, it says this is all, it says it used to be chapter one of Genesis, that this was originally had by men and that it was taken out. And so this is all really before the book of Genesis, where Moses is praying, saying, tell me about the heavens and the earth. And God says, well, I'll just tell you about the earth, but I want you to write it down, and it's going to be called the Bible. So the book of Genesis, in other words, if we read this in the inspired version of the Bible, this would be chapter one of Genesis. And chapter two of Genesis is where, and then God said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, let there be light. That was him telling Moses about this earth. So that it goes together.
And the inspired version is what?
The inspired version is the one done by Joseph Smith. So what this is, what we're reading in the Pearl of Great Price here, called the Book of Moses, was taken from Joseph Smith's inspired version of the Old Testament. And this was chapter one. And the Mormon LDS Brigham Young did not have the inspired version. It stayed with the RLDS, but we had this. And so it got put in into this book, into the Pearl of Great Price. The RLDS have it both, I think, in the inspired version, and they also made it a section of the Doctrine and Covenants. But the main thing is, this was the prelude to the book of Genesis. And that's why I've been saying, and I'm almost alone in this, that the book of Genesis is a revelation from God. That's it's not Moses writing campfire stories, or even his own, it's not Moses summarizing other documents that he has, where he says, oh, in the beginning with heaven and the earth. It's not Moses writing at all. And the way I know that is it has so much in it that he couldn't possibly know, or he wouldn't possibly think it's important, because it's not in this book at all. And that's when in the flood, he tells the exact day when they see the mountaintops, and that the water covered the highest mountain by 15 cubits. And all of this weird stuff that's incredibly important, that to me proves it's a revelation from God, because nobody would put that in what they said was a scripture from God, unless it was put in as a puzzle for us to figure out and solve.
Figure it out, as Warren said.
And that's what I spent years doing.
Authenticity stamp.
Yes, exactly.
It's like the weaving of the name. I also found so interesting the weaving of the name of Jehovah in the three ways of the verses, the words and the letters of the five books. You don't
right.
It's the too Bible cohesive. Goes. Now, yeah.
I know what you two would like. I have a whole article on. Look up on my website, the search engine for Bible codes. That came out 10, 20 years ago. Someone discovered these Bible codes, and then a lot of people came out and tried to disprove it and say, oh, they're not really there. And you can mathematically show that they are really there, and that's sort of what you're saying. And yes, it's an authenticity. And it's all through, it's all through Genesis. For example, I'll just say one thing that's in my paper that shows this. So chapter two in Genesis, which is chapter three in the inspired version, the Lord says, I created the Garden of Eden, and here's the trees I created in the Garden of Eden. Every kind of tree I created that bore fruit, and trees, and he's talking about trees. Well, in Hebrew, when you look, here's all these names of trees, the olive tree, the fig tree, the almond tree. And they're everywhere. They're all through that book. And you look in other chapters and there's no names of trees hidden in all the words. And so I'm saying, anyway, my article tries to prove that it's true after people had tried to prove it's not true. And it's like you said, the Lord's signature. Moses could never have done that. It's beyond people. Anyway, it takes a computer to find.
I'll look into that. Thank you.
Yeah, you'll like that. Okay, well, I think we are out of time. And there is one more verse of this, but we can read that next time. It's a long one, 23. So we're going to stop after 22. And but there's a lot of information there. And to me, the whole thing is to know it came from God. And he's trying to tell us things. And like Harm says, when there's something that doesn't make sense, anytime you say, well, why did he use this word and not that word? Or there's a contradiction. Oh, another one you'll like, and this should be on the recording. I have an article on my website called Joseph's 70th Descendant. And it's a puzzle. And then the next month, I put this in Meridian Magazine. The next month, I think it's called Treasures Hidden in the Scriptures. And I think that's the answer. But in Genesis, I believe it's 46, where it says, God says, there were 70 people that went into Egypt with Jacob. And then he names all the people, and then he counts them. And he says, this wife had this many children, and this wife had this many. And you say, yeah, yeah, yada, yada, whatever. And you say, no, no, this is a puzzle. And you add them up and it's not right. It's not the right number of children. And there aren't 70, there's only 69. And there's two or three mistakes. And there's no mistakes anywhere else in Genesis. I saw that and I said, this is a puzzle. We're supposed to figure this out. And it's the best puzzle I've ever seen in my life. And it's, anyway. So try to do the puzzle before you read the answer.
Where is it at again?
Look on my, it's Genesis 46, but she says, where is it? Genesis 46. But to do the puzzle, go to my website under the 70th descendant of Jacob, whichever article is first, I think that's it. And I've restated it there. So I've restated it perfectly as a puzzle, just to clear up any translation errors in the Bible. And so it's an official logic puzzle. And so I would say, read it from my article first. And it's whichever article is first. Don't read the answer before the problem. Anyway, I think the 70th descendant is the problem. And the answer is the month after that. With that in mind, there's treasures in the scriptures for us to find. Any other final comments before we turn off the recording? All righty, then we'll see you recording people next week.